the morning, maybe. I know it's inconvenient for some of you because you have to work. But if you have the time, and I'm not a morning person, but I tried to make it here. But it's like a service. As soon as I walk in and we start praying, we set the atmosphere, and the Lord reveals so many things. And you are prayed by name. The Lord brings it, download it, and those that are here, we intercede and we pray. Without prayer, the kingdom of God is not going to advance. I'm going to say that again. Without prayer, the kingdom of God did not advance. And so it has to be a group of people to guard your back with prayer and intercession and groanings and moanings. You know, sometimes it's very heavy, sometimes it's very light, but we call you by name as the Spirit of the Lord put them in our hearts. So again, if you can make it at 7, even if you can't stay the whole hour, 15 minutes, 10 minutes that you come in, it's just one prayer once after another. And so there's one thing that we like to do that will stay eternally. And let me tell you, the book of Revelation talks about a bowl in heaven that is full of the prayers of the saints. So every time you pray, every time you intercede for others, for yourself is okay, but when you stand in the gap for others, guess what? Those prayers are not lost. They're not in vain. They're going to be kept. And the Bible says it's incense before the throne of God. That means the Lord delights himself in hearing the prayers of his saints. So I just want to encourage you, just write it down. I know it's Friday, and we're going to try to put it on the church WhatsApp just to remind, because the enemy don't want you to remember and all that thing. So I just want to encourage you, please come and join us, because it is wonderful, and the weekend is much better, and the service much better, because there's so much to pray. Amen? All right.
All right. Well, at least the mic is working. I apologize on behalf of the church. Our projector didn't work. And so because we haven't memorized the songs that we sing, sometimes we kind of lose. Today it was very significant, the type of songs that we were singing and the wording in them. When we don't see them, we don't get involved in the song as we would normally do. Technology is great as long as it works, but we get to depend so much on it that without it, we sort of feel lost. And so the projector is not coming on, so I will not be projecting the scriptures. And I hope you have some sort of scripture with you. I hope every phone in the house has a Bible program that you can look up into. I mean, you do, all of you have Facebook in it, so you should have the Bible program. And you can usually flip to it a lot quicker than you can do usually with a solid real Bible. So I pray that you hear the scriptures, the scripture references, look them up, because I may say a lot of things, but really what I say doesn't really matter, except as long as it lines up with the word, and that you have to find out for yourself whether it lines up or not. Before starting, I want to ask all of you, my wife talked about Friday morning prayer. I want you to be in prayer. I know the Lord has been speaking to us for some time now about getting into evangelism in this community. God has placed us here. And so Jesus, when he sent his disciples, he said, "You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world." Mm-hmm. This is our Jerusalem. La Belle is our Jerusalem. I mean, if you live in La Belle, there are some people that live other places. But for most of us, La Belle is our Jerusalem, and we are to be witnesses. And so one of the main callings that the Lord has given us is to evangelize, to speak forth the word of life. And we have been a little hesitant and disobedient regarding corporate evangelism. And so we're praying about which way, what timing, where do we start to evangelize this community. It's fine that we have a nice group of people that gather together regularly, but the Lord wants to add daily as he wills. So that's that. Also, I got another announcement. On July the 29th, I'm going to ask for all the men of the church to set up Saturday. That's a Saturday morning, July 29th. We're going to fix breakfast for you. And we're going to lure you with food. And we're going to get together. We're going to have a time of fellowship. We're going to get to know one another. We're going to pray a little bit for one another. And we're just going to bond as men. And so I'm inviting you to check your calendars and secure July 29th from 8 o'clock in the morning to about 9:30 or so. And we will eat together, we'll break bread together, we'll get to know one another, and we'll plan for some other further meetings. We as men need to know one another. If we're going to work shoulder to shoulder, I need to know whose shoulder I'm beside. Amen. Amen. And so men are called to lead. And we have also sort of relegated that responsibility somehow to a lot of women. And not that that is wrong in itself, but God has given us the authority and the responsibility. So as we know our place in the body of Christ, then we take charge on the things that the Lord has put on us to be responsible and accountable for. So evangelism, pray this week, as often as you remember this week, pray and see what the Lord shows you, and then inform us, my wife or myself, and then we will strategize with the Lord regarding what you guys hear and let us know. So with that, I want you to place your hand in your heart. I want you to close your eyes and repeat after me. Holy Spirit, you came to teach me truth. I ask you to open my ears, to open my mind, and to open my heart to receive illumination that conforms me to the likeness of Jesus. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. As my wife was saying a while ago, our highest calling from the Lord is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And for that, we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him so that our eyes can be open and our minds can absorb. And once we know, then we can put into action that which we know. It's no good just not to know it. I mean, it's not just good enough to know it. We have to put it into practice. So we have been talking about the authority of the believer. This is our third message. A little review. We have been looking at the authority that we have as the body of Christ, the church. The body of Jesus, the believers, we have received authority, and we need to know that in order for it to work in our lives. We have addressed the need to know about this authority. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, which we looked before, He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And we talked about God speaking to his chosen people in the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea. And he was speaking this word to those people. And he's saying, you are being destroyed because you don't know. Your lack of knowledge is not allowing you to be triumphant. And so, just as God was speaking to his people back then, he's speaking to us today. Many of us are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We know about Jesus. We may know him as Savior, but that may be the extent of some of the knowledge that we have, some of us. Most of us are fairly ignorant about the Word of God. You know, we come Sundays and we want spiritual food, but we want it already digested so that we can understand it. We want it served in a nice platter. Today the platter shattered, and I'm not displaying it. But you would also like a little sweet tea along with that. Well, I'm sorry that we ran out of sweet tea today, so you're getting the raw word. The Bible is our manual. And sometimes we rely on a preacher. You know, I am able to fail just as much or worse than you. So you cannot rely on just my words. You have to check to make sure. You have to be even as noble as the Berean people, that when Paul preached to them, they went back and searched the scriptures to see if Paul was saying the right things or not. And so we need to have our Bibles. We need to read them regularly. We need to get familiar with what God, just think of it. We call the Bible the Word of God, the creator of the universe, the one that created us. And so he knows how we function. And yet we stay so ignorant. He gave us a manual. And we don't read manuals anymore, do we? And we choose not to read God's manual to us. And we need to get busy. It's never too late. You know, I'm taking a Christian course to get my master's in theology, and they're asking me to read the first 5 books of the Bible in 1 month. And, you know, can you read Genesis in 1 month? You know, my challenge to you. You know, I'm about to become 70. What's your excuse? You know, I got glasses. I got hearing aids. I got a trach. I got a lot of responsibilities. I work probably more than you do. What's your excuse for not getting into the Word? And I keep getting into more work. You know, this needs to be fixed, this electric problem here. I'm going to be out this whole week working somewhere else. Enough said. You know, some of us accepted Jesus as our Savior, but we haven't taken time to find out how this new kingdom operates. We are in a new kingdom. Remember, we were moved from the kingdom of darkness, which we were all born into. We belong to the devil when we were born, even though Christ said, let the little children come unto me and forbid them not. You know, none of us stay children. You know, we grow up as you see our children growing every day. And there is a time that we know good and bad, and we know the difference, and we always choose to do bad stuff. That's because we were born with a sinful nature. And that's what Christ came to change in us. And so when we realize that we are bad in the core, that we need to change, and we realize Jesus paid what it takes to change us. And we ask Jesus, come into my heart, change my nature, that I stop being a son of darkness and I become a child of the living God. And that's why we need to be born again, all of us, each one of us. We're not born into the kingdom. We're not inheriting a kingdom because our family is part of the kingdom. No, it's individual. Every one of us. God doesn't have grandchildren. So we need to become new creatures, and we need to know what being a new creature is all about. Jesus prayed in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, when he was talking about teaching his disciples the prayer. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, where is Jesus now? Jesus is in heaven. We are on earth. And if the kingdom is going to come, it's going to come through Jesus' representatives. That's why we're supposed to conform to the image of Christ, so that we can establish God's kingdom on earth. And that doesn't mean we're going to change governments and this and that and the other. That means in the area of influence and authority that I have, the kingdom of God should be reigning. That means my home, my family, my job, I have authority there. And to, you know, some of us have more authority in those areas than others. But in whatever area we are responsible for, then we have authority. But authority that is known but not acted upon is still nothing. So we need to act on this authority that we have received. And this is just a review. In John chapter 8, verse 31, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Jesus is saying, if you abide in my word, are we abiding in his word? You know, most of us abide in our homes every day. We go to work, we go this, that, and the other, but we end up back home every day. Well, this is our spiritual home. And we only seem to come here on Sundays. Are we abiding during the rest of the week? Because from Sunday to Sunday, it's not going to be enough for you to grow and be the strong Christian that God wants you to be. If you eat from Sunday to Sunday, you probably won't make it the next Sunday. And we need spiritual food to grow and become everything God wants us to. So we need the word every day, not just on Sundays. Jesus said in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus has given us, the church, authority over the enemy and all of his power. And you say, wow, if Jesus gave me authority, you know, that's awesome, because God exalted Jesus when he raised him from the dead. He gave him all authority over heaven and earth and over every name that is named. And so Jesus is preeminent in every place in the universe. And so we have that authority. Jesus delegated it to us, and we're going to find out pretty quick. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, again, Paul is saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Notice that in everything that God has given us, it's always in Christ, not in ourselves, not in our own strength, not in our own power or knowledge or wisdom. It's always in Jesus Christ. So as we identify ourselves with Jesus, then Jesus can trust us with his authority and fulfill those things that we are trying to accomplish in his name. But this authority is not just to be known and understood. We need to act on it so that it will bring results in our areas, in our life, and those areas that the Lord wants us to influence. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, a lot of us are very strong in ourselves. And we're powerful people, influential people in our own strength. And God really doesn't care about your strength, because your strength will never produce anything that will bring glory to the Lord. Flesh is flesh. But God says that the strength and the power that we are to exercise is not our own. It is His strength. It is His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so we have talked about these scriptures before. We're continuing today with a few more scriptures to realize so that it would sink in us that there is an authority that has been delegated to us. And in anything that is delegated to us, we have a responsibility to do something with it. It's not just for us to look good and look powerful, you know. Okay. In John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, John said, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them," the enemies, "because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." See, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you have delegated authority over all the power, all the influence of the enemy. We have authority over him. The Holy Spirit lives in you and in me to help us enforce the delegated authority that we have against the enemy. Now, we need to recognize we don't fight flesh and blood. We're not supposed to be exercising that authority over other people. The authority that we have been delegated, it comes against powers, principalities, powers, rulers, and wicked spirits, not over people. People are not our problem. It's what's behind people's actions and attitudes that may be the problem. And we need to discern what is people, what is flesh, and what is the enemy doing numbers through those people. And so if you look at scripture, especially in the New Testament, we have been studying the book of Acts on Wednesday, and we see demons casted out of people. And whoever does it, Peter or Paul or Jesus or whoever, they don't speak to the people. They speak to the demon that is behind oppressing those people and getting the people to do things for the enemy. And so, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You know, when Jesus spoke to Peter, he wasn't speaking to Peter. He was speaking about that spirit behind Peter's comments to Jesus. Peter, he heard from God and he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And right after that, he said, "No, you cannot go to the cross." And Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He wasn't speaking to Peter. He loved Peter. He cared for him. He spoke to that demon that was whispering in Peter's ears. So, when did we get this authority? I mean, if I got authority, I would know when I got it, right? In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus was raised from the dead and appeared to many. And this time, Matthew 28, 18 says, "And Jesus came and spoke to them," to the disciples, "saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore." So Jesus is basically saying, "I'm receiving this authority, this power over everything. I am commissioning you to go in that same power and authority." He was given our authority. He transferred it to his body, the church, the believers. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, we look very closely at that prayer that Paul has in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. And part of that prayer, Paul is praying for the people in Ephesus and for us as well. And he's saying, for us to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Notice that Paul is saying there is a great, exceedingly great power of God towards us who believe, but then he says, according to the working of his mighty power. In other words, as we are associated with the Lord Jesus, then his power flows through us. I know I work with electricity and sometimes not very properly. because it does fail, but you know, you can have a very powerful, you know, what used to be an old plugged-in drill. You know, now we have battery-charged ones, and they are okay for small jobs, but when you want heavy-duty stuff, you need to plug to the wall. And I got a few of those old, very powerful drills that can drill very quickly through concrete and stuff like that. And you know, they're heavy, they're rugged, and they're very powerful. But unless they're plugged to some source of power, they're just dead. We are the same. We are loaded with a lot of authority, but that can only be useful if we're plugged into Christ and we're doing His will. We're not going to go and do damage with this authority, which the enemy loves for us to do. And so the drill only functions when you're plugged into the source of power. Our authority works for the glory of God when we're plugged into Jesus. Towards us who believe means the church. That means you and I. And then he continues in verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. This phrase, in the right hand, at his right hand in the heavenly places, the right hand of a king symbolizes the king's authority that is delegated. Anyone that sits beside the king and at his right hand is a very powerful person. And so Jesus is seated in the heavenly places at the right hand of God. And guess what? We are part of Jesus' body. We are his body. He is the head, we are the body. And if he's seated in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and rulers and everything that is named, we're seated with him. We are far above all that stuff too, if we only are stay plugged to him. Colossians 2 verse 15 says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he, that is Jesus, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You know, we hear about this, but we don't see it described in the Gospels necessarily. But he's speaking here, Paul speaking to the Colossians. He's saying, he disarmed principalities and powers. When he submitted himself to death, and then God raised Jesus up from the dead. He disarmed principalities and power. You know, the devil comes as a roaring lion. Well, Jesus took a pair of pliers and took all his teeth out. He can just gum on you. He can't really chew on you. He can gum on you. He doesn't have what it takes to chew on you if you don't let him. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus defeated all demonic powers. It is not described in detail, but it's been told us that when Jesus rose from the dead, he made a spectacle of them, of the demonic powers, triumphing over them. You know, conquering kings used to have a victory parade when they went for battle against another kingdom, and they won. They came back home, and there was a spectacle of people, all the people from that kingdom of the triumphant king. They would gather, and they would have a procession. That king, that conquering king, would come, and he would be in a parade, in an elevated chariot, you know, well decorated and all of that, and everybody changed, you know, chanting and hailing the king for his triumph. But then right after the king's chariot, there would be defeated soldiers and generals and conquered kings in bound in chains walking behind that chariot. And now this is what Jesus did in our behalf. He conquered all the power of the enemy. And as we exalt the name of Jesus, that's why praise is so important in us as Christians. That's why a few of us were challenging the rest of us to get into the praises, praising the Lord and giving honor and glory to our King, because as he parades through, he's bringing his chain demonic forces, displaying his victory over them, and to show us that they are a defeated foe. And so he wants us, as we join with our King in celebration, we're also stepping on the head of those enemies of ours. And as the more we realize that we are in the victory side, then we're not going to be intimidated by what the enemy tries to do in our lives. But we have to see ourselves as part of the kingdom that has triumphed, as part of the King. And so, as so is the King, we becoming more like unto him, we also have authority that triumphs over every aspect of the enemy. And the more we realize that we are in Christ, then we start acting like really who we are, victorious people under a victorious King. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting with verse 1, Ephesians is a great book to find out who you are in Christ. And as you find words that in Christ, in him, this type of phrases, you know that there's something for you and for me to acquire and believe and adopt. Ephesians 2:1 starts saying, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin." Like I said, we were all born into in a sinful, dead state. Our spirits were dead because of sin inherited from our forefathers. Verse 2, "In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." So we have all been there. Before you were born again, you were part of the enemy's camp. You were an enemy of God. But God, in his rich mercy, he opened up your eyes and my eyes one day to realize we were in the wrong camp. And he said, "I'm offering you a free ride to this new camp where you can be victorious and eternal, enjoying the eternal things that are prepared for you." And we realized where we were headed. We repented. We said, "Jesus, come into my heart. Change me. Transform me. Transform me. Transport me from the kingdom of darkness to your kingdom." And he did. Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." So we all came from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear Son. But it doesn't stop there. We came to his kingdom, and verse 6 says, "And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Where is Jesus? He's seated at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. And where are we? If we are in Christ, we're seated with Jesus. Far above principalities, powers, rulers, demonic forces, and every name that is named. Positionally, we are with Christ. How about experientially? Are we there? We all need to experience that victory. And that's what we're trying to get us to picture ourselves. You know, you cannot walk in that which you don't know. Well, we first need to know that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above every power of the enemy. We have authority. Jesus delegated that to us. But we have to enforce it. It doesn't happen automatically. And I'm so glad to hear this morning, my sister here was saying, open your mouth. You see, that's where the authority is displayed. You can think all you want about yourself, but only matters what comes out. People don't know you until you open your mouth. And so, let them know who you are. You are a Christ follower with his authority, with his power. When Jesus was raised from the dead, his body was also raised with him, and we are Jesus' body. We are spiritually, positionally seated with Christ in heavenly places, but we need to experience that, and that happened as we walk in authority through Christ Jesus. Authority has been transferred to us. As we abide in him, then that authority flows through us and takes care of whatever the enemy is trying to do, and we can stop him at any time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether free or slaves, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Jesus is the head, we are his body, and we are one Spirit with the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one Spirit with him. So we have received the Holy Spirit. He's there to help us, to encourage us, and then we're made one with him. There is power in unity. We're called to go to the cross and die to ourselves, just as Jesus died to self to please the Father. But we're not called to stay there on the cross. Resurrection in Christ is also supposed to happen to each one of us, just as Jesus rose from the dead. As we identify with Jesus, we are also ascended and seated with him in heavenly places. All right. Let me move on here because it's getting late. You're hungry. I hear your stomach's growling. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So we who are in Christ, we have received gifts from Christ. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He mentions the enemies being defeated, but he doesn't stop there. Then he says he gave gifts to men. He mentioned gifts that the conquering king is given to man on the earth, to mankind. So to sum it up, John chapter 14, verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. In the King James, that most assuredly is written, verily, verily. When Jesus repeats something, we all pay attention. It's very important. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you. Repetition means pay attention. This is very important. Authority has been given to us so that we can exercise it against God's enemies. And it's supposed to happen now. You know, in heaven, there are not going to be any enemies, so we won't need that in the next life. It is now that we need that authority over the enemy. The enemy is going to be done for, but in the meantime, we're supposed to control the activities that he does, at least in our area of influence. And so, this is not just some believers. He says, he who believes in me is what Jesus said. Everyone who believes gets this authority. Next time, we'll take a look at how we put all this delegated authority into practice. But we're going to quit here right now. Father, I just thank you for the trust that you have laid upon your people, your bride, your church. Lord, even when we were enemies of yours, you sent your son to die in our behalf. You love us with an unending love. And you love us so much that you don't want just for us just to have spiritual eternal life later on. You want us to have victory today, even in the midst of a world that doesn't know you and don't care about you. Lord, we pray that these images that your word presents to each one of us would engrave themselves in us, that we may understand who you have made us to be as we have received Jesus into our heart. And Lord, that we will know the extent of our authority in Christ, that we may be led to experience the abundant life that you came to give us. Lord, I pray that our eyes would see, our ears hear, our heart would understand, and our will submit to your will, that we may accomplish those things, that we would take action on those things that you've given us so that we may enjoy the benefits of your victory already won for us. Father, I pray for your church that it would rise up in authority and royalty, Lord, as you have dressed us, and that we would conduct ourselves just as Jesus did, to bring honor and glory to him, to exalt him, and Father, for us to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus gave us. Father, I thank you, I bless everyone, and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're all